Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise, noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael, Falcons training camp day number two. We are actually in studio in the Kia Studios today. We'll be back out at Flowery Branch tomorrow and on Thursday, weather permitting. Now,
it's supposed to be nice the rest of the week.
It's raining hard up there right now if you're seeing any pictures and stuff. And we'll obviously get up to Flowery Branch throughout the day and check in with some folks. Ricardo Allen's going to join us at 11:30. But you know, radio equipment and water don't always mix in a great way. That could lead to electrocuted radio hosts.
And don't want that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that don't like us that much.
Yeah.
But you don't want us to get electrocuted, right? That doesn't sound good.
Hell no.
Get a jolt of a shock through, especially through the headphones. So we played it safe, and that's fine. But we'll still bring you a lot of coverage from Flowery Branch today as practice on training camp day number two is already underway. They're out there, and maybe it's a good thing for them, getting a little practice in the rain, Randy. It's harder to catch a football when it's wet,
I hear. It is. And sometimes those days are fun when you can be out there, especially this early in camp right now. Usually when you're late in camp and you're tired and you're ornery, you won't be in no dang on rain. But, no, it's cool. And hopefully, like you said, we'll be out there tomorrow and have a good time.
Yeah, we'll be out there. 10 a.m. tomorrow, 10 a.m. Thursday. Come by and say what's up. There's also more open practices as training camp goes on. We'll be back out there as well. Now, as always, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929. Let us know what's on your mind. On social media as well, I'm at TBM929, Randy at RandyMac81, Wendy Adams producing the show today at Wendy Radio, and Brian Gebhardt producing the show as well. Now, the one thing about the rain, and I'm sure that they'll be careful, is after what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I just really don't want to see any more of that, man. I mean, after the year that we dealt with last year with the Falcons and that the Falcons dealt with last year and the fans dealt with last year with the injury bug being, I mean, almost historically bad for this team, for opening day of training camp to result in two guys now going to miss the season in Wilcox, the safety, and in Michael Bennett, the defensive lineman. That's a rough way to start, man. That's not the way you wanted to get things going. The injury bug rearing its ugly head on day one of training camp yesterday.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, man. And it sucks that that guys get hurt on the first day, especially when you're just in in helmets.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I saw the video of when JJ goes down. It looked like he just, made a back cut. And when you look at what happened to Michael Bennett, who knows what happened. Sometimes when you're that first day of camp, you get a little, amped up. Somebody might have fell on his leg. I've seen that happen plenty of times where something like that happens to a leg in practice by somebody just falling on it. Happened to me. I unfortunately missed a couple of days. But, I mean, it's those things, when you don't, when the pace police ain't out there yet, in the all-county Swanee team comes out sometimes, all Flowery Branch first team guys sometimes, people get hurt.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, and you're right. I know what you mean. When you're a starter and you've been there and – you kind of know the deal. You're maybe going to take it a little bit more, I don't know if slowly is the word, but you kind of know the pace.
You know the pace of practice. Yes.
You're a rookie who maybe didn't get drafted, and you're out there trying to make sure every single rep counts, and you think it might, end up with you getting a spot on the team. I understand it. Everybody's out there and amped up. But, yeah, it can lead to bad stuff. It can lead to guys getting hurt. And, unfortunately, that's what we saw yesterday. The Falcons have subsequently dealt with one of the injuries that they got yesterday. Michael Bennett is going to be out, and sources are telling, and Adam Schefter and other NFL reporters are saying that the Falcons have signed Alan Bailey.
Yeah, played at Kansas City.
Formerly from the Kansas City Chiefs, went to Miami in college. He's actually from Georgia.
Yeah.
He's out on the coast in Georgia, and he's a defensive lineman. So you bring him in and pay him a lot of money for a guy who was sitting on his couch yesterday.
You gave some bread. They brought him in earlier this summer for a meeting, and they couldn't get the extension or whatever you want to call it done. But,
right.
Yeah, he's a good, solid player. He's better than Michael Bennett is, which is – okay, I guess, because you don't want to say anything like they won't miss these guys, but it's not going to derail the season because you lose those two guys.
Sure.
It hurts your depth a little bit because JJ's a veteran, and I know Dan likes to do the three safeties things a lot, and he's that guy that can do those things. But, I mean, it's not going to derail what's going to happen in Flowery Branch this year.
Right. I mean, that's the hard part sometimes about these conversations. Yeah. It's like you don't want to diminish the injury that someone just got on the opening day of training camp by saying, well, it's just blank.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just player X. No, I mean, you know.
It's a big – I mean, you don't want to lose anybody, but yeah. It's
anyone
like
getting injured in practice sucks, bottom line.
It does.
And these guys were going to be on the team.
Out for the season.
Yeah, out for the season the first day of training camp. These guys spent all offseason getting ready for first day of training camp, and then you go out there and you blow out your ACL or you break your ankle or whatever else it is that could possibly happen at these training camps. And to me, it says a lot of different things. You hit on it there, Randy. A, number one, you don't say, well, it's no big deal because who's Michael Bennett? No, I mean, he's a guy who's on the team. That sucks. Now, your point is right. It's not, fortunately, somebody who was going to be a big rotational guy. It's not going to probably change that much. I mean, my opinion of the Falcons yesterday was Super Bowl or bust. My opinion of the Falcons today is Super Bowl or bust. So what happened yesterday at practice and the injuries doesn't really change that. But it also, to me, speaks to something that we talk about all the time on this show. And with impending collective bargaining agreement negotiations with the upcoming CBA in 2021, you see guys get hurt like this, and you know that whatever money they were going to make, they're probably not going to get most of it. And who knows if they're ever going to get a chance to be back on the field again, and who knows how these injuries are going to linger long term. This is why I always advocate for as much guaranteed money as possible for players, and I always advocate for as much lifelong health care for players as you can get. Because, I mean, it's not just the playoff games where you might break your ankle. Anytime you're out there with a helmet on,
anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Yep. And we saw that happen yesterday. So
But unfortunately, and here's the thing with Bailey. He had 6 sacks last year. If you can get 6 sacks out of him this year, that's a success. Like I said, he's more of a run stuffing type guy, big, strong dude that can hold the point of attack and all that. But if he can get you 6 sacks, that's plenty.
It's more than Vic Beasley.
Yeah, that's plenty. That's plenty from the defensive tackle interior. He can play defense. I mean, he's more built to be a 3-4-5 technique, and that's what they ran in Kansas City all those years before they changed over to the 4-3 this year. But yeah, I mean, he's better than what you had there. Whoever you replaced him with, yeah, it cost you some loot, but maybe I. That'd be all right.
Oh, yeah. No,
that'd be all right. I think
they're going to be okay. And, you know, like you said, the depth on the defensive line probably just got a little bit better because you just added a more talented player than was already there. And 6 sacks last year is more than one of your starting edge rushers had last year. And one less than your other starting edge rusher had last year. So if Vic and Tech can do what you've been asking them to do all offseason, which is combined for 20, and Alan Bailey can get you 6, I'll take 26 between 3 guys.
Yeah.
And he's a veteran. You bring him in.
He's familiar with Sutton.
Good point.
You know,
he's the game manager coach the Falcons have now.
Who is going to be, you can call him a game manager, but he's going to be helping Dan with the game plan and everything.
Right, of course.
You know,
he's another set of eyes and experience that's on the coaching staff. But his job is going to be during the game to manage the clock, manage the timeouts, manage the challenges, and take all of that, like, that organizational game day stuff out of the hands of Dan Quinn, which is good.
Yeah.
I like that because that's one thing that Dan Quinn has been consistently
bad at,
average at.
But again, because you have you have him in that role, you still gotta, you know, as a coach, you gotta go with your gut sometimes.
True,
and
he will be overridden.
Yeah, he will be.
Dan Quinn will override decisions that he makes sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, he's another veteran defensive mind that's going to help Dan, you know, with the game plan. Ultimately, Dan will call the defense, but he'll be a guy that has been there and has experienced it and will help out with the game plan, the Sunday game management. But, yeah, I mean, and I'm looking right now because they got to have another safety. And maybe you wait till the cuts are out. You know, we talked in the bullpen, Eric Bear is still out there, hometown kid, but who knows how much money it's going to take or if he is even healthy enough to play. Trey Boston, a young player, was in Arizona last year. Who else got on here? Darian Stewart, another veteran player, but you know, a lot of people remember him from, you know, Flacco and, you know, get deeper than the deepest.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of knew what they were going to do on that play.
Mike Mitchell,
and still managed to let
Mike
it get
Mitchell,
over your head.
Another veteran player that can play the safety position, can do some things that Dan wants.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys out there.
There's guys out there.
They're going to sign a veteran safety. I would imagine it'll be a veteran safety to bring in and provide that depth that you lost yesterday with J.J. Wilcox. And it's fun to get into the arguments of Eric Berry because everybody knows Eric Berry.
Yeah.
And he's from here.
Yeah.
And he's had great games against the Falcons. Like, everybody knows who Eric Berry is.
No,
He single-handedly won a game.
Yeah, by himself.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But he had a pick two in a game against the Falcons.
Yeah, but again, he has a long way. We don't know how far along he is in his rehab. He's hurt. What's going on? Because you're always skeptical of veterans that are available this late.
Yeah.
Because you're like, is it the money? Is it the injury? What it is? Does not fit the scheme. But, you know, I think that the one thing that he would bring is great leadership. But it's like it's not like the Falcons are lacking.
Yeah, I don't think they have
a real void in
leadership.
But, I mean, that's a different kind, though, that guy right
there.
You know, he's just a different kind of dude, a different kind of cat. Now, is he still playing at that level? Can he get back to that level? I don't know. I don't know. It'd be hard because that Achilles has been nagging him for 2 years now.
So. Yeah, and, you know, again, if they make that move, that would be great. That'd be very exciting.
I would love it. Oh, I would love it.
But you do. You have question marks about anybody who's still out there. I mean, you have question marks about Alan Bailey
because
he was still out there until yesterday.
Like you said, he got the scratch off last night and 10 mil came out.
Yeah, he won the lottery yesterday.
That's a lot of bread, man.
Two years, $10.5 million, $3.5 million guaranteed this year.
I'm trying to think.
For Alan Bailey.
I don't think I've ever seen nobody get 10 mil. The day after the first
this
day of
late?
Practice, this late,
yeah. Unless they held out or something, it's not.
Yeah, I'm like, damn.
A free agent on the street, on the couch, doesn't tend to get that much.
That's
money.
All good though.
But there were other teams interested in him.
He had
worked out with the Falcons back in June, so it's not like he's completely some random guy they called up and brought in here. He had worked out for the Patriots. He had worked out for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So he was on the radar of other teams before what happened yesterday. You just think that the reality of it is. Unfortunately, the Falcons were bitten by the reality yesterday, but the reality is guys are going to get hurt in training camp. Every single team is going to have guys get hurt in training camp.
It's just a part of the game. Answer me this, though. If Michael Bennett doesn't get hurt, is he signed?
I think eventually they might have signed him anyway.
I do, too. I think they wanted to have him on the roster.
Yeah, he was a name that they had been talking about for a while now, like we said.
Right.
As soon as Grady's deal got done last week, we started hearing about the money that freed up and what that could do. And we said this yesterday, and I think we said this last week, too. I always expected them to add something else to the defensive line.
Yeah, we did.
They still needed more depth on the defensive line.
You needed more depth, and we also believe that Julio's contract. Because everybody's like, well, how did that affect Julio? Julio's deal's already done. It's already done, man. It's already done.
Yeah, and I think that you're justified in feeling that way.
Yeah.
We found out yesterday that weird rule in the collective bargaining agreement that you have to wait a calendar year to adjust a contract again for a new deal after you've done something the last year. And as we know, Julio Jones got a contract adjustment last year, the day before training camp. Last year's training camp just happened to open on July 26th. So that's how long the Falcons have to wait to adjust Julio's contract again this year. So for Julio to get a brand new deal, it has to be a year later, which would be Friday.
Right.
July 26th is on Friday. And I'm with you, Randy. We sat out there at Flowery Branch yesterday just knowing that Julio's contract was sitting in a room behind us.
It's right there.
Just let us
right
see
there.
It.
I mean,
come on, Thomas, just let us see it.
Just incentives.
Adam Schefter doesn't have to break every story.
You know what I'm saying? Let us have some.
Let Randy break
it. Damn.
Get a peek at that contract, all right? All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending. A lot going on. Braves back in action tonight, as well as who Dan Quinn could possibly be talking about right here.
It's an indicator where we see him starting right now, and he had earned a lot of that through the spring.
Who? We already know who's going to be starting based on what they did in the spring. We'll see who Dan Quinn's talking about there. Get into all the other trending stories as well on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's an indicator where we see him starting right now. And he had earned a lot of that through the spring about where his performance was. But you'll still see some work as we're going through different combinations of people. It wasn't exclusive to that way, but that's how we began.
What's trending here to kick off the show? Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back into the Braves a little bit deeper as they're back in action tonight against the Kansas City Royals. The hated Kansas City Royals are in town,
Randy. Those Royals.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen when the Royals come to town. Anyway, that was Dan Quinn talking about Chris Lindstrom, saying that he's with the first team because he's earned the right to be with the first team.
And he was first-round pick.
And he was also the 14th pick, the first pick that the team had. And when you take a guy in the first round in the NFL draft, probably that guy's going to be a starter for your team, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
Seems like something that should happen.
Yeah, and now he's looking at some of the comments from up there. He's moving over to right guard today with the first team, and then Jamon Brown's going to the left guard in the first team, and then, you know, they got Carpenter rotating in. So let's expect that three-guard rotation pretty much.
Yeah.
For the rest of the summer.
But it'll be a battle.
But when they go to Minnesota, yeah, Lindstrom will be there.
He'll be the right guard.
Yeah.
And the left guard will be?
James Carpenter.
James Carpenter.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. And then the right tackle will be?
Caleb McGarity.
You think so?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I don't think so. I think Sambrello will probably be
again,
the starter.
If he can't beat out Sambrello, all right, we got an issue. All right? I'm going to have an issue with that. I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
I think Ty Sambrello is a serviceable tackle. Serviceable third tackle. I mean, it is what it is. So, y'all want to go ahead and take that risk? Go on.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. No, I mean, look, the Minnesota Vikings have a pretty good pass rush.
Yeah.
So, you want to go up there and protect Matt Ryan a little bit.
Well, I mean, you Hooper and them guys going to be helping on that right side anyways. When they go up to Minnesota, oh, yeah, with Everson Griffin and those guys, yeah, it'll be a tight end, a back, or somebody on that right side of the line no matter what.
One of the good things from yesterday, along with seeing Chris Lindstrom with the first team, that's good. That's great. I mean, as Dan Quinn said, there's a lot more practice to have him move around. He'll probably play with some of the second teamers at times, and they're going to try to have a competition there at the guard spots. But just seeing certain guys on the field yesterday, Randy, and one guy we're going to talk to in about an hour from now was Ricardo Allen.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was going to be able to be out there doing all the stuff that he was doing yesterday, and he was, which was great.
But what was great, we should have expected because he wasn't on the PUP list.
Okay.
But neither
is Deion Jones, and he was on the side doing rehab stuff.
But still, I mean, you still think that coming off the Achilles and how late it was in the season that he probably would still end up on the PUP, so... But in training camp, when you're on a PUP list, you can come off anytime, whenever that is.
Yeah.
You know, the only time the PUP really matters is during the season.
I'm just thinking of the last couple of years where guys have had significant injuries, significant players have had significant injuries. Went into training camp last year with Tack McKinley kind of doing most of his stuff off to the side because he was still dealing with his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Julio pretty much always does stuff off to the side this part of training camp because he's Julio Jones.
Right.
You just want to be really careful with Julio Jones, and I think that's the right thing to do. Deion Jones was off to the side as well, too, doing some of his rehab work, which, again, fine with me.
He can stay over there.
Be as careful with Deion Jones as you possibly can. But we didn't know. We were out there, you know, we get out there at 9:30 yesterday. Everybody's out on the field. It's like, oh, that is number, is that 27 or 37? And Eagle Eye Randy was able to spot Ricardo Allen.
The 2020, baby.
Yeah, that 2020 vision Randy McMichael has and he's famous for. Was able to spot that jersey number. And the same thing with Keanu Neal was out there with the number 22 jersey on.
I loved it, man. And you see so many different things that they're trying to do right now. So notice a couple things that Tack and Victor are standing up now more than being down in a defensive end stance, which both of them are more comfortable with. Both of them are comfortable doing that. And it gives you kind of a outside linebacker 3-4 type feel. And I think that's going to be great for him if Dan lets him do it. Because I know that's what Tack did a lot at UCLA.
What's the downside of doing that?
There's none.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Unless you want to just make it look a certain way. And most coaches are particular about little things like that. But if they're comfortable doing it that way and they're successful doing it, let them do it how they want to do it.
Yeah, but whatever, honestly, whatever makes those two guys comfortable.
Yeah.
And if comfort leads to results, do that.
Please.
I don't care. I don't care how they stand as long as they're lined up legally and they don't get caught. Wasn't it Vic Beasley a handful of times last year was flagged for being offsides before the play even started?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Don't do that anymore.
That's pretty bad.
Don't do that. Don't be offside. All right, let's keep it moving.
Since I've been here, you know, Q is a defensive line of minded guy, so he always had been really intimate with us and giving us a lot of time. With him being a play caller now, it's definitely, you know, some more his voice going and, you know, commanding certain things. So, I mean, I think it's exciting. It's definitely an exciting time. There's a lot of good stuff out there for us, and we can't wait to really bring it to life.
That's another example of Dan Quinn's message getting across. Like, I don't know if Grady Jarrett's just saying the word intimate about Dan Quinn working with the defensive line, unless Dan Quinn always says intimate when he talks about working with the defensive line. Nonetheless, I like it. I like that Dan Quinn's in the trenches with these guys. That's his background.
Yep.
Dan Quinn comes from a defensive line coaching background, and with no significant additions until now, Alan Bailey Alan Bailey added to the defensive line yesterday. He's the most significant addition they've made to the defensive line going into 2019.
Yeah, it is.
So aside from
would you say Claiborne?
That. Okay,
maybe
Claiborne.
Maybe bring back Claiborne.
Rashid Hageman to compete. So I like Claiborne coming back. I actually really like Claiborne.
I don't think
back.
They didn't want him to leave in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want him to leave in the first place, but now he's back, give you some of that veteran leadership, a guy that can play up and down the line. I think that's the one thing if you look at this defensive line is people can play all over the place. Tack can play over the guard sometimes. Now, you don't want Vic in there too many times, but Tack can do some of those things. And it's always better when, you know, when you look at your coach and you're like, okay, he's putting it all on us. Like Ricardo said in a clip yesterday, I mean, he's thinking about it like, I'm just going to put it on the players. I'm going to line y'all up and y'all just go play football. Because that's what Dan ultimately wants to do, mm-hmm. is just line up and go play football. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to do certain things. And your coverage is not there. Somebody's out of their gap or something like that, and big plays happen. But, yeah, Dan wants to be a vanilla defense to get after the pass with four rushes and drop seven in coverage.
But in order to do that, every single individual has to do exactly what they're asked to do.
Yes.
Like
accountability, baby.
You have to be able to do your job really well. Otherwise, you're going to get exposed in that type of defense.
One player mess up.
Right.
Everybody's it's a wrap. Well, it was easy for Seattle because they had number 29 back there, and he was the human eraser.
Earl Thomas helped. Yeah. Cam Chancellor wasn't too bad back there either. That helped a little bit, too. Yeah, no, having elite-level pro all-pro talent is definitely helpful. Yeah. We'll talk with Ricardo Allen coming up in about an hour from right now as day two of Falcons training camp. Well, they'll wrap up in about 45 minutes, and then Ricardo Allen will jump on the phone, and we'll chat with him.
We need everybody. It's going to take 1 through 25, maybe 1 through 35, depending on the situation that continues to go on. Everybody's key to our success. There's not one person that's more than anybody. You know, everybody has their role, and we need them to be able to do that.
Definitely. Not the voice that you would put with Josh
yes.
Donaldson.
Yes, Josh Donaldson with the least likely voice to have. Although I think Trey Young's voice is less.
No, Trey looked like his voice.
Really?
Yeah, man. Trey looked like his voice.
I think the first time I heard Trey talk, I guess now we've seen him so many times.
Yeah.
All right,
I'll take
Patrick Mahomes does not sound
he does
looks.
Not. Well, yeah, he does
no,
a little
he
bit.
No, he doesn't.
A little bit.
No,
little
he
bit.
Doesn't. Patrick Mahomes, because you've heard him enough times
that
now.
Could be
Just
it.
Think about the first time you heard Patrick Mahomes. I was like, that was they played the wrong clip. I was listening to it on the radio, and they were like, and here's Patrick Mahomes talking about his 5 touchdown passes. And it did not sound like Tony Gwynn. I was like, why are they playing that?
There's nobody that can sound like Tony
That's
Gwynn.
That's the wrong ever. Highlight that they're playing.
Nobody can ever sound like Tony
Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn
had one of the most unique voices ever.
Ever.
Josh Donaldson has a unique voice, too. That's not really the point of the clip. The point of the clip is what Josh Donaldson said, which was everybody has their role, which I agree with, especially in terms of what they're doing offensively. Like, every single player on this roster this year, if not once, probably more than once, has had a huge moment. A clutch moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just think back through the last 2 months of this season with all the walk-offs they've had, all the last at-bat wins that the Braves have had, and how many different guys it's been. One night it's Dansby. It's even been Johan Camargo coming off the bench. Charlie Culberson as a defensive replacement. Obviously, Freddie Freeman. Like, every single guy has filled in. Now, I don't know that I particularly agree with what Josh Donaldson said as far as roles go in the pitching staff, because I think that there's a lot of undefined roles in the pitching
staff. Without a doubt. I mean, I think that's the one question mark that we've been talking about for the last 2 months. What is going to happen with it? Because you don't know. I think we're pretty sure that if the playoffs started today, that it would be DK and it would be Mike Soroka.
Uh-huh.
And who knows? I mean, and that's where we're at right now. But the thing about it is that Josh is saying what you're supposed to say. He's saying the exact same thing you're supposed to say when you're talking about a teammate, your team, and all those things, that you have faith. Knowing damn well you probably sitting in that clubhouse like, it's going again. You know, I mean, it happens. It's just human nature.
The other thing I agree with him on, though, Randy, is in order for this team to make a run, a deep run in the playoffs, you have to be able to count on 1 through 25. You're going to have to be able to get to the point where people are in roles where at least you're comfortable enough with them in that role. I mean, not everybody's going to be elite in their role. That's ridiculous. It's impossible for that to happen on a team. But you could get to a point where, because right now, the closer comes in the game and we're all nervous. We're all sweating. I don't want that to be the case.
The trade deadline is what, next Thursday?
Yeah, we're 8 days away.
Okay. I'm sorry, next Wednesday. Wednesday. Okay, tell me this. After Wednesday, next Wednesday, are the roles going to be defined by then? Because if they're not making a move for a pitcher, they got to figure something out, right?
if they don't make a move for a pitcher, then rules aren't going to be defined until ever.
Ever. So it's just going to be, even when they get to the playoffs, it's going to be up in the air.
The roles are going to be defined. We're just not going to be comfortable with guys in those roles. Because, look, Luke Jackson's role is defined. He's the closer.
That's what I'm saying.
I just don't like
it. So next Thursday when we come in, because probably the trade deadline will be over by the time our show is up. Next Thursday when we come, we might be a flyer, whatever. Whatever.
I understand what you're
getting wherever we're going to be at.
Next Thursday.
If there's not a new pitcher on this roster, how mad is Andy Bucker going to be?
I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay.
I'm going to be disappointed. Although in 10 minutes, Randy, I'm going to make the case for doing nothing.
So I'm going to be okay because I've already put myself in the mindset that they ain't going to do nothing.
I'm getting there.
I'm getting there.
So. I'm getting to that mindset as well. And the argument that I'm going to make to you in 10 minutes is part of the reason why I feel like nothing is going to happen. So we'll get to that in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be an exciting game. They're a good team. Obviously, they're coming off of the game against the Galaxy, so it's going to be, I'm sure you guys on the outside of the locker rooms will hype it up as much as you can, and us as players know that it's a big game, but it's not the end-all be-all. It's a chance for us to continue to pick up points and keep this, this short run of games going in a positive direction.
It's a pretty big game, though. Let's be honest. That's the voice of Brad Guzan talking about Atlanta United versus LAFC on Friday. Yeah, you lose the game. Okay, you lost. But if you win that game, you go out to LA and beat LAFC, who's running away right now with the regular season point total. That's a pretty definitive statement for a team who's had an up-and-down stretch. And again, it's been a very good up-and-down stretch. That's because they're really talented. Mm-hmm. But you can't sit here and tell me the last month and a half for Atlanta United has been all roses and sunshine.
No, it has not been.
No, it has not.
It has not been. The last 2 weeks have been really, really good. You get a shorthanded team coming in here. You beat the brakes off of them, and then you were able to be clutch in your last game against a team that's given you fits since you've come into this league. But at the same time, this is a big game. 10 o'clock, going out to L.A., baby, going back to Cali. Go get you some.
And LAFC just got Zlatan'd, so maybe they're down on themselves.
Oh, yeah, and one of their best defenders, Zlatan, broke his face.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, broke his face.
Yeah, he really did. The guy's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
It's a big elbow. Zlatan's a big guy. All right, we'll come back and get back into the Braves, and I'll make the case for doing nothing. 8 days to the trade deadline. Braves don't have to do anything, and there's evidence to show that they won't. We'll get into that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I am Angel McMichael.
I am Barbara Lundstrom.
It is my pleasure to introduce your new 92.9 The Game Midday Show host.
Middays with Andy and Randy, starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
Andy Bunker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
I am so proud to be your mom, Andy. I love listening to you and Randy every day.
I am a proud mama. Watch out now.
I still enjoy that. We're a little bit into the show now, but I still enjoy that.
Yeah, of course. Our moms are always great. And we're still waiting to hear word from my mom. My sister is with her, had a knee replaced this morning.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're just waiting to hear from her and see, make sure she's doing all right. But, when your mom calls my whole name, it's just the greatest. It is. It's just the greatest.
That was recorded once. So even though we played it 100 times, she only said it once, right? Because everybody only gets once. You say the middle name twice, that's when Randy gets mad. Right?
Oh no, I'm okay. I gotta get some things. You gotta get over. Like, I'm gonna get mad at you. I'm gonna get mad at your mama for saying my name.
Not my mom. I'm just other people.
Starring
other people.
Randy Montez McMichael. Yeah, I'm gonna get mad at her.
All right.
I just like no. She says Randy Montez McMichael as Randy.
As Randy.
I love it. I love it.
Randy playing himself.
Yeah, that's so great. That's so great. And I don't know what's wrong with y'all people out here messing with me about some media member stuff. They just like again. What I do? What I do to y'all?
I don't know.
Are y'all that desperate?
It's almost as if we keep talking about it on the radio all the time.
Everybody's like so desperate for me to admit
other people to
what
talk
did I
about
tell
it?
You? I said, until Mike Conti gives me my little badge thing, then it ain't official.
Your press pass.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, little badge thing. You're not becoming a police officer. You're not going to be the sheriff. You're going to get a media pass. You're going to be a press pass is what it's going to be. And you're going to get one. And then I guess that'll confirm it, although I'm sure you'll have some sort of argument at that point as to why that doesn't confirm it either. All right, we'll get into an NFL No Huddle coming up in about 15 minutes. Ricardo Allen going to join us from Falcons training camp day number 2 in about 45 minutes as well. Before we get there, though, the Braves are back in action tonight. for the Kansas City Royals, the Royals are in town for the next two games. Which, you know, the good news about that is the Royals aren't good.
That's what I was going to say. How are the Royals?
Yeah, they're not very good.
Okay.
So they had that nice little run where they, you know, they went to the World Series and they won the World Series. And that's great. Good for Kansas City.
And then what happened?
And now they're garbage again. They're 37-64. So
very low payroll to it. Thank you, Brian.
They're 15-35 away from home. So it should be a nice, quick little two-game sweep for the Braves, and then you get back into division play as you lead into the trade deadline, which is 8 days away from right now. Braves are in great shape. They got a nice big lead in the division, and the problem is I think we all understand exactly what they need to do to get better. The bigger problem is as we get closer to the trade deadline, it seems more realistic to me that they'll stand pat. Now, I'm still hopeful that they'll do something to address the bullpen. I don't think they're going to do anything to address the starting rotation, and I think a big part of why was Kevin Gausman coming back the other day and Brian Snitker sounding so optimistic about it.
You know, we were trying to, with some injuries and different things, we were trying to get some consistency back with it, and I think that's a huge step in the right direction. You know, we get Max back in there, and all of a sudden, like our rotation, you know, Gauz is an established guy. It's good getting him back in there.
The other reason, Randy, and I said I was going to try to make the case for doing nothing, is so this came across my timeline yesterday. I don't know, people were tweeting it. I'm not sure why. But there was an article that was written about the Braves' list of 2017 prospects, the top 20 prospects back in 2017.
All right.
And it was good. It was a good crop of guys. You want me to read these names to you?
Let me hear it.
So number one was Dansby Swanson. Okay. He's, you know, starting shortstop now. Right. He's going to have 30 home runs this year. Number two is Ozzie Albies, starting second baseman. He's all-star, pretty talented. Number four was Mike Soroka, probably your best pitcher right now in your rotation. Number five was Sean Newcomb, who's been up and down, but it's probably your most reliable arm out of the bullpen right now.
All
right. Number six was Max Fried, who's probably your second or third best starting pitcher right now.
Wow.
Number seven, somehow, I don't know how this is possible, was Ronald Acuna.
Really?
He's one of the best players in the entire planet
right
now. You keep going. Tuki Toussaint's number 11. Now he's been struggling lately. Number 12 was Austin Riley, who, you know, set a lot of records for home runs this year when he came up. And then you get a little lower down on it, and it's guys that are still in the minor leagues. So that made me want to go look at what the list is like right now. You got Christian Pache at number one. You got Ian Anderson at number five. You got William Contreras, the catcher, brother of Wilson Contreras, at number six.
Where's number two? Who's number two?
Number two is Austin Riley, because he's already up.
Oh, that's right.
I'm skipping over the guys that are already up. Soroka's number four.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's already up.
Go ahead.
Drew Waters is number seven. Kyle Wright, they still have Kyle Wright on here for some reason. Luis Gohara, by the way, is still on the list, and I don't know that anyone's seen Luis Gohara in the last year.
Where is he at?
That's confusing to me. But Colby Allard is on the list.
Where's Alex
Kyle
Jackson
Mueller
at?
Is on the list. Alex Jackson, I think,
because Contreras, because I mean, Alex has been up already, and Contreras is rated higher than him, right?
Yeah. Where's Alex Jackson's at number 20, so now Contreras is probably the focus in the minor league. But the point is this: all of the guys that we're talking about trading have a lot of similarity to the guys that people probably were talking about trading 2 years ago if you wanted to maybe make a push, or maybe even last year if you wanted to make a push, or maybe even before this season started if you wanted to try to add JT Realmuto or someone like that. So as much as it is frustrating in the moment to preach patience, and I don't want to. I'm not advocating for patience. I'm saying the Braves should do something before the deadline in the next 8 days to make yourself better now so you can try to win a World Series this year. But, and I know this is a big but, because it's hard to imagine that you're going to have that type of success like you had in 17. All those guys from 17 are now the cornerstone of a team that has a 6.5 game lead in the division. If you have half that much success with the guys that are on your prospect list right now, then you've got controllable assets that are very talented for the next half decade, and you can win with those guys. So as much as I want the Braves to do something, just looking at that, that's a pretty solid argument for maybe why they won't.
Oh, that's the only reason why they won't. They're looking down the road, and they're looking at the big picture. We want to be good for a long time, and we have the prospects to be good for a long time. Because relative to what you just said, the core and the background of this team is all under 30, except for, you know, Freddie's not even 30.
Yeah, not even 30.
You know what I'm saying? So when you look at it that way, and then you look at these other guys with the potential that they have, and you have not missed on any of them except for the pitching. You're going back to a point where how the Astros built their team, how the Cubbies built their team, how these teams built their team outside of these superstar pitching prospects. You know what I'm saying? They're building things around that, and then they're going out to get a Justin Verlander and guys like that. Maybe that's where they are right now, but they're just not ready to give up these assets because they want to see these guys, what they already have up there in SunTrust. So I'm not getting my hopes up high at all that they will make a move. I hope they do. I think the Bumgarner thing, I think that's out the window because right now San Fran is like, they're really back in the chase.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to trade him to anybody.
That's what I'm saying, not just the Braves. Just anybody. I just close that out.
They've won 16 of their last 20 games the Giants have to play themselves back into the playoff race in the National League. So that maybe takes Will Smith off the table,
Will
too.
Smith,
that's a guy who we spent a lot of time talking about.
Kirby Yates, the Padres. After we went up there and bum rushed the Padres because they were kind of hopey too. I think we took their soul.
It's the same thing with Cleveland.
Yeah,
Cleveland was 11.5 games behind Minnesota with the hot start that Minnesota got.
And now
they're
charging.
Cleveland is right back in it as well. So you know, Brad Hand maybe off the table, Trevor Bauer maybe off the table as well. Other names that we spent quite a bit of time talking about. Now there still are guys out there. I mean, Marcus Stroman is still out there. Somebody's going to get Marcus Stroman. And the fun thing about him is, he's not a free agent at the end of the year. So if you get Stroman, you get him next year too. But I wonder if that would make the Braves less likely to want to do it because they want all their guys still coming up.
Yeah.
Like the Braves want space cleared. I know that Stroman would be great this year, and I would like to have him next year too.
Yeah.
But it could maybe get in the way of someone else that the Braves are trying to bring through.
Like
here's
who?
The thing.
Like
here,
who? Like who?
Ian Anderson, Colby Allard.
Why can't you still bring them up?
Weigel. Well, because you got Soroka, and you got Free.
Okay.
I mean, you only can have 5 starting pitchers.
Okay, give me the other 2.
I guess you
give
can
me
have
another
6.
3. You might not re-sign Dallas Keuchel.
You probably won't.
You know what I'm saying, guys? I mean, who knows what's going on? Fulton, you don't know with that. Why can't you bring them all up?
You know
if you're gonna bring them up, let's just go. All right. I mean, really? Like, obviously, you're not gonna get rid of them, so you might as well just use them.
Right, and that I'm with you. I totally agree. I think if you have that talent, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
The argument for doing something though is. The spots. You only have so many spots for guys.
Yeah.
And that 2017 class is already
They're
here.
They're ready to go.
You got your first baseman for the next, what? How long is Freddie going to be able to play? For another 8 years?
Five, six, seven, eight years?
Yeah. You're not worried about first base? You got your second baseman for the next decade. You got your shortstop for the next decade. You got your third baseman in Austin Riley for the next decade. You got Ronald Acuna for the next decade. Like, you can move on from a guy or two that's in the minor league system right now to make yourself better right now. A lot of these guys are already here.
But that's what I'm saying. You got so many. Why are you hoarding them? You know why you're hoarding them? Because you don't want them to be the next great. Oh, man, I can't believe you got rid of Pache. But guess what? We got a world damn series.
All that to say, I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, exactly.
They might make a bullpen move. That's where I'm at right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, including some of what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say. Disrespected, Randy. He feels so disrespected. We'll get into that and more coming up next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.